May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text that we meditate on today is drawn from Galatians chapter 6, which is really a continuation of Paul's encouragement that began last week in Galatians chapter 5. An encouragement that we have as Christians to walk by the Spirit in contrast to walking by the flesh or by the world. The Greek word actually is kosmos, which really can be looked at as this present darkness that surrounds us in our world, in our existence today. We as Christians have been called out of that. We have been called out of that cosmos to a whole new way of living. We have been called out of that to an entirely radical way of life where we as believers are not just responsible for ourselves, but we actually are responsible for each other as we gather together as a body in Christ, as we gather together really as a Christian family. Most of us accept the fact that we are responsible for ourselves. We accept the fact that we are responsible for our own individual behaviors. We are responsible and called to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit that we heard last week. The fruits of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Today's text, though, takes on a much more communal nature. Today's text calls us to recognize that this Christian life of love and joy and peace and patience and the like, this Christian life we have been called to live not just unto ourselves and for ourselves and to ourselves. This Christian life is something that we have been called to live out in community with each other. It is something that we are called out to live in service to others, and this especially when it comes to the household of faith. Paul offers a few examples. Right off the bat, he talks about if your neighbor is caught in some sort of sin or transgression, you don't seek to just ignore it, to pretend that it doesn't exist, or to simply say, well, you know, they're on their own out there. No, if your neighbor is caught in some sort of sin or transgression, we are to seek to correct. We are in love to go to that individual and seek to try and restore them, to return them to the fold, and to do that gently. Gently. That's a far cry from the social media embarrassment campaigns that are oftentimes launched on Twitter and Facebook and elsewhere today. It's a long way away, actually, from also the old-fashioned gossip sessions, the coffee clutches, and those things that took place down at the local coffee shop. Those things are not to happen either. Those old-fashioned gossip sessions where everybody gathers, you know, to catch up on the latest news. But the news is not really the stuff that you hear every day on the radio or the TV that you can tune into. The news of the day is what's happening in Joe's life or in Mary's life. And you pray to God that it's not something that's happening in your life that other people have discovered. This is not what we're called to do. Jesus taught us himself. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and that other person alone. If they listen to you, you have gained them. If they do not listen, take one or two other people along with you. You see, there is a process actually to follow, and there is a spirit. There is a spirit about the whole process that is about gaining the other individual. It's not about destroying them or embarrassing them or putting them in their place. And this process and this spirit are to be maintained. We are to bear with one another and share with one another. Paul gets specific here. He says, let one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. As a missionary pastor and teacher, Paul had enjoyed the care that had been shared with him from those in various places. Some shared a little bit better than others, but all shared, all kept him well supplied, and he was grateful for that. He was grateful for everything that he had received, and he encourages the same thing to continue to happen for others. And not just really for pastors and teachers of the word. Sharing was a hallmark of the early church. Luke tells us in Acts, for instance, that all who believed held all things in common. They sold possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Everything that they had, they shared. And they cared for each and everyone's needs. Paul commends the very same practices, to the congregations in Galatia and throughout the church. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is Paul's encouragement. But I have to tell you, the fact that Paul really has to impress this upon the congregation does tell us something. While it is the direction that he would lead, the fact that Paul has to impress this would seem to indicate that a lot of this is not taking place, that people needed to be reminded, that some of this sharing and caring and bearing was not happening with the church. And it is a good reminder for us today that none of this really comes naturally to us. We heard Pastor Miller say it last week, and I'll repeat it again. All of this is easier said than done. It's much more easier for us to look out for number one. It's a whole lot easier for us to look to our own interests. And it's easier for us to do that even when we are technically doing what is called for. A lot of times we do good things for other people. But you know, a lot of those good things that we do for other people, if we really get down to our motivation, is done to, you know, grandma needs a little buttering up. I think I'm going to do a few good things for her, and then maybe she'll let me have this, that, or the other. You know how the buttering up goes. You see, technically, you've done what the law requires, but the spirit is all missing. The spirit of loving God and neighbor. And the truth be told, we're all susceptible to this. We're all susceptible to doing good things because we like to have good things returned to us in kind. We're all susceptible to self-serving sin. And Paul notices that too. While seeking to restore another who is caught in a transgression of some sort, Paul warns. He warns the church. When you're doing this, and you ought to be, but when you're doing this, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And we have all seen that happen before. And of course, our minds immediately go to that. We're to be a positive influence on others, but sometimes when we seek to help others, they end up being a negative influence on us. We seek to influence someone in a positive way, but instead we somehow or another get drugged into whatever they are doing. And that's certainly a concern. Paul is certainly concerned about that, and we ought to too. But I need to tell you that a lot more is going on here than that. There is another temptation that Paul is really, really wondering and worrying about here within the text that we'll want to also keep in check. Because oftentimes, while we're going to help Mary or Bill or Paul with their various problems, the real temptation that we have is falling into the idea that somehow or another, they were weak and I am strong. And that is something for me to boast about. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will not be in himself, will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will bear his own load. Now, while the thought here admittedly is hard for us to follow, I think you kind of get the idea of what I'm getting at here. Paul is encouraging us as fellow Christians to resist the temptation, even while we are helping others, to compare ourselves with them. To resist the temptation to think that I've got it all right, even while they've got it all wrong, and they need me. They really do need me. And you know how that thought comes about. It usually comes about, and we kind of hang ourselves when we get caught in some sort of a transgression of our own, and then we go, well, yeah, I know, yeah, you're right, I did that. But at least I'm not like Bill. At least I didn't embezzle money from my boss. At least I didn't cheat on my wife. At least I'm in church every Sunday. You see how we're tempted to do that? Rather than comparing ourselves with our neighbor, Paul encourages us instead to engage in a little bit of self-reflection. To not compare ourselves with our neighbor so much, but instead to evaluate our own work. And if we do that, what will we find? Romans 3 tells us, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. So what then becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. The truth is, we're all every bit as vulnerable as the other to temptation. Perhaps not the same temptation, but temptations that are unique to ourselves. We're all susceptible to that. And if we keep that in mind, then we are able to go to each other and encourage one another and correct, and to then draw people home and to encourage them to repent. And we're able to do that gently because we know and we recognize that we are no better than anybody ourselves. You see, living this Christian life really is a tall order. But we're really not in it alone, are we? We're responsible for each other. We help bear each other's burdens. But this comes with the additional joy of knowing that while we are helping to bear others' burdens, those others are also helping us. These others that we are helping to encourage, these others are also there to encourage us. Take a look around. They're all gathered here today. Everybody who is gathered here in this house knows and recognizes, has confessed this morning, that they are a sinner, that they have fallen short. But each and every one of us here has also received God's grace. We are all gathered here as part of the body of Christ, forgiven and loved by our Savior. A Savior who has absolutely no intention of leaving us where we are at. Yes, He receives us just where we are. He receives us as a sinner, broken. But He has no intention of leaving us there, broken. But He has every intention of mending us, of making us new, of sending us out together, fashioning us together, not just as an individual, but fashioning us together in the body of Christ, each part of it, uniquely gifted, not just by their own strength, but uniquely gifted by Christ and His Spirit, that the members may have the same care for one another. Check it out, 1 Corinthians 12:25. Each member caring for the other as they are fashioned together in Christ's Spirit. And this same Spirit, my friends, this same Spirit is at work in you to set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Freedom. Freedom is what our country stopped to observe these last few days. Our country is by no means perfect. And the cause of freedom within the country here of the United States is always under assault. But today, in the United States of America, you and I enjoy freedoms that are not enjoyed anywhere else in this entire world. We have the freedom to gather here this morning, to assemble together as this body of Christ, to gather together around God's word, to hear it and to be encouraged without the threat of wondering what's going to happen to us if I open my mouth. What's going to happen if I gather together in that assembly? We have that freedom in this country today. We have freedom to go and to come wherever we want to, pretty much without limit. We have the freedom to vote and elect our leaders. We have the freedom to speak our mind. We may not like what other people think and what other people say. We may think it offensive. But freedom also gives us voice as well. Freedom gives us the opportunity and our Lord to speak His word through us, a word that truly has the power. We don't have the power, but His word has the power to change hearts and minds. And we live in a country where we can freely do that. Freedom. And for the time being, we still have it. For the time being. And we pray that it continue. We pray that it continue because we know that the sinful flesh has a way of returning to a yoke of slavery. This is the freedom that we celebrate. But you and I as Christians, we have even greater freedom. You and I as Christians have greater freedom to embrace. And I know it sounds crazy, and I know it seems impossible to think that human beings could somehow or another put aside the measurements of the world and the way the world values things, to imagine that we can somehow or another devote ourselves to each other, that we can gather together and actually love each other and bear each other's burdens and share the things that we have and care. I know that it just blows your mind to think that we can actually do that freely and that we can be confident that we can do it freely, that we can share our stuff and share our time and that we can give so freely. I know it's odd to think that we can do that confident that we are together in a body of Christ that will also likewise take care of us, that God sees to it as we give to make sure that our needs are taken care of. I know that that is impossible. I know that it's impossible for us to grasp, truly, if I really want to say it, it is impossible, truly is impossible of us alone. But we're not alone. We do have each other. And beyond each other, even more, we have Him. We have our Lord Jesus. And we have His Spirit, who is not dead, but alive. We have Him and His Spirit. These are, after all, fruits of the Spirit. They are byproducts of our living together in relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has called us out of this darkness and this dark way of thinking into His marvelous light. He gifts us with a whole new freedom. A freedom from the sin that would imprison us. A freedom from the death that would stalk us. A freedom from the hell that would haunt us. He gives us freedom, not of ourselves. We can't boast. We cannot boast. But we can rejoice, confident of this, that we are His workmanship, not our own. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, created in Christ Jesus to live this radically different life of serving Christ and others. It is easier said than done. But we're confident. And we are confident because it is done by Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who has done it all. Amen. Please take out your white card in front of you today if you would fill it out so we have a record of your being with us here today. And please turn it over and we pray together the call to Christian fellowship. Dear Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Christian fellowship to worship You. We've confessed our sins, and we thank you for your forgiveness. We've sung praises to you and listened to your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as you love us. And by our words and actions, make us your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.